Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 25th. Thank you for continuing to pray alongside the Family Mission Team as we are in Orlando, Florida, working alongside Horizon City Church. We're doing sports camps each day, and also sharing the themes and the messages from our VBS curriculum that we did this a couple of weeks ago here at Mountain Brook Baptist. Let's start out with our memory verse from Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. I'm loving these first four words as a promise for us, or as an encouragement for us from the Lord. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Our first passage today is from a book of the Bible that only has one chapter. It starts with a P. Do you know which one it is? Philemon. Yes. And if you're trying to find Philemon in the Bible, I want to give you a tip. There are five T books right before it. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and then you'll find Philemon. Now, there's a joke about Philemon and Hebrews and James. And it goes like this. Philemon gets in a fight with James. Who won? Philemon, because he bruised James. It's a way to remember how they go in order. Ha ha ha. Philemon, Hebrews, James. So Philemon wins the fight. I know I've talked a lot already, but the explanation of Philemon in the Student Study Bible is excellent, and I want to read it for you since we're only in Philemon one day. The book of Philemon is the briefest and also the most personal of Paul's letters. Paul is writing to a friend to ask him a favor. A big favor for a person's life depends on the outcome. Like many citizens of his day, Philemon owned slaves. One of Philemon's slaves, Onesimus, has run away to Rome. There he has met Paul and becomes a Christian. Perhaps he and Paul shared a jail cell. Onesimus means useful, and Paul playfully makes a pun from his Greek name. A runaway slave is useless, but a converted former slave can prove very powerful, provided Philemon receives him back in the right spirit. Accept him back, urges Paul, no longer as a slave, but as a dear brother. Though Roman society imposes a huge social distance between slaves and masters, Paul suggests that even this gap can be closed in Christ. Let's start in verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. So here Paul is asking Philemon to accept Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And then I think he's also hinting at the fact that he would love for Onesimus to come back and to aid him while he is probably under house arrest. Okay, let's move on over to Luke's gospel. Today we're in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. And this is about Jesus restoring a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw that what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. All right, before we move on, I just wanted to remind you, I think we actually had Mr. Kelly sing this hymn one time on the podcast, but every time I hear that phrase, "Tell what the Lord has done for you," it reminds me of the song, the hymn, "Share His Love." And this is how the chorus goes. "Share His love by telling what the Lord has done for you. Share His love by sharing of your faith. And show the world that Jesus Christ is real to you every moment, every day." Lord, please help us to be the kind of people who can share your love by sharing the stories of how you have made a difference in our lives. Our final passage today comes from Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to read verse 25. "Like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. That reminds me of Psalm 143:8. May the morning bring news of your unfailing love. I have put my trust in you. Lord, as my brothers and sisters long for good news in different areas, good news from distant lands, good news about people accepting Christ, good news about diagnoses, good news about financial situations, good news about situations that burden us. We pray, Lord, that you would be at work and that they would experience good news today. As we end the podcast, I want to pray for us using some prompts from the Bible Study Fellowship curriculum. And I'm just going to give the prompt and then pray over us. And then we'll end with a blessing from Dr. Hull. Will you pray with me? Oh Lord, convict us of any personal hypocrisy lived out before our families, which contradicts what I say by what I do. Father, we confess our sin before you and help us to confess to others as well when appropriate. Lord, allow our words, looks, and actions to clearly reflect to our family that they are loved, honored, and cherished. Father, may our eyes communicate today only love, not sarcasm or hatred or any kind of shame. Help me to recognize individual limitations, respect individual differences, and have realistic expectations for each person in my family or at my office. Father, we pray that you would help us to be the kind of people who know that you are at work and people are in process. Remind us of the grace that we have received and help us to be a people who extend that same kind of grace. Uphold us so that we are never too tired, angry, or negligent to help others along in their faith. Father, who is it that you are calling us today to encourage, to spur along, or to confess that we haven't done such a great job in the past? We thank you, Lord, for enabling us to be a peacemaker. Would you diminish any jealousy in our hearts? And would you allow us to be an example of Christ to everyone we meet today? And so may Christ go before you to prepare a way of service. Christ go behind you to gather up your efforts for his glory. Christ go beside you as leader and guide. Christ go within you as comfort and stay. Christ go beneath you to uphold with everlasting arms. Christ go above you to reign as Lord Supreme. Amen.